Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano.
And by
Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio Net. Let's Talk Hookup app. Having a lot of fun here with Mike Shane from Hub SeaWorld Research Institute, talking all kinds of fish and fishing and learning all kinds of cool new stuff, Corey.
I love learning, man. Especially when it's our local sea bass or, you know, whatever we're talking about, halibut, yellowtail, even the cowcod, all this cool stuff. So if you want to be a part of the show, there's a couple ways to do it, and we're giving away a really cool prize. So you can call us, 213-432 1090. Still one open line right there.
Yeah, good luck. It's been a very busy morning, but we're going to take your phone calls in the second hour for sure.
Or you can text us via the app. A lot of cool texts coming through. Text us right there. It's a tag that's text the show on the app right there. Make sure you leave your name or telephone number, because at the end of the show, Mike's going to be flipping a coin, and we're giving away two tickets to the gala, the 60th anniversary gala at SeaWorld. Super cool thing. And if you want to purchase tickets, Mike, how do they do that?
So they would go to our website, and there's a link right, I think, on the homepage there for the 60th gala. So our website is hswri.org.
Perfect.
So that's just an abbreviation of our name.
And so they can purchase tickets that route, or we're giving away two tickets at the end of the show.
We alluded to it earlier, but, man, nobody puts on an event like Hubs. It's always a fantastic, fantastic both in environment and people, tremendous food always. You guys always throw down. And then and you said this one's going to be held at the park and going to be some fun, like, after-hours festivities going on. It's just going to be a really special night.
Yeah, we're going to have some auction items, and I was showing Rick
Corey
here in the office. We had Peter J. come down and do a fish print on one of our broodstock sea bass that we had to take out of our systems. And so he did a fish print, and then he took it back and touched it up and framed it for us. So that'll be one of the auction items there. I was just showing him sent it to me this week, so it's pretty amazing.
It's spectacular.
It's one of the coolest fish prints I've ever seen. Yeah. Really neat.
Nice job, Peter.
Fatty fish. It was a 60-pound sea bass.
It looks like it in the print, man. That's really cool.
So that's a huge, beautiful print.
Big, yeah. So we'll pick that up from them, and that'll be, you know, an auction item to help us. And I'm going to actually mount. I got some lithographs from a well-known fish artist years ago, Stanley Meltzoff, who's like one of the considered the father of sort of these fish paintings and actions in the environment. And so I'm going to. One of our board members gave me some lithographs years ago, so I'm going to mount one of those in a frame and put that up there. It's a striper underwater in a freshwater going after some fish. And
how cool is that? So those will all be auction items at the event.
Yeah.
Wow, so cool.
That's rad, yeah. Well, as you can hear, we got lots going on, and it's time to find out what's biting out there, Corey. It's time for the Catch Report.
And summer's here, Rick, and gas prices are going up, up, up. So now more than ever is Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. You got to visit there. The prices are so low. Pull up to the newly expanded Summit Gasoline and get their low prices. Diesel prices for your car, for your truck, your boat. They can now accommodate 24 cars and trucks. Man, that is
so
huge,
rad.
Right? Exactly. Plus 12 diesel boats and what am I reading right there, Rick? 12 diesel pumps probably, and 100 pounds of free ice, man. If you purchase 35 gallons, get your 100 pounds of free ice. Say hi to Martha and the friendly staff, Summit Gasoline, for their free ice. And Let's Talk Hookup listeners, always just step in there, and I think they give you a bag of ice, right?
Just tell them you're a listener. Let's Talk Hookup. Go see Martha. They'll hook you up. No doubt about it.
Always the lowest gas prices. Summit at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Speaking of hooking up, I know there was a lot of that. This was a very, very good week of fishing. We're excited to find out what's going on with the Catch Report, starting off with our private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish, is on the line with our FishDope.com report. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Morning, Ricky, Corey, Mike. What a great show. I'm having so much fun.
This is great.
It was hard to work on my notes here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, I saw a recent quote from one of the sport boat captains, and he was talking about the local Bonita, I mean, local bass and barracuda bites here on the beach. And he said, good old-fashioned summertime fishing. And, man, does that sum it up.
It's all just, right.
There is just so much going on, and especially this local stuff. Man, it's so nice to have it back. They were MIA for a few years. But the epicenter has been out here on the famous Horseshoe Kelp. It's a big stretch of Rex Rocks and hard bottom here out in front of Long Beach. And most of the days, they're biting a little better in the afternoon. We had some morning days, but, you know, it's been pretty good fishing here for a pretty long stretch now, so that's really good news. And the barracudas are biting both the bait and the jakes. I'm telling you guys, fishing that barracuda on the iron is, first of all, very productive, and it's just an awful lot of fun. And along with the cudas, the bass fishing is also really good. Sand bass, calico bass, both. Water has been 66 to 68 and clean, and it's got that bass population all fired up. No sign of local yellows yet, but with the developing El Nino scenario and the water conditions doing what they're doing, I wouldn't be surprised if some of that rolls in here pretty soon. At Catalina Island, again, good summertime fishing. Bass, bonita, barracuda, a few yellows mixed in, but man, the downside to that island right now is a seal situation. It's horrible. They're just brutal. And God, I wish somebody could figure out what to do about them. It's just ruining an awful lot of fun. But at Clemente, that island is absolutely loaded with fish right now. Water's clean and warm. 70 degrees in some places over there now. And man, those yellows are liking it. They're biting, mostly school-sized fish. A little bit of that good one mixed in. And most of that is on the front side middle. All up and down the front side there. And then in the cove has been some good fishing. And surprisingly, there's been quite a bit of commercial pressure up the backside there on the squid. It's a big area of squid on the back Clemente. And yet there hasn't been much pressure back there in terms of rod and reel fishing. But I would imagine there's a lot of bigger yellows and probably some sea bass mixed in with that squid sector. And then offshore, oh, boy, this is where it really gets interesting. Two main areas down below. San Diego in a 302, 425, 371 sector, and then down the beach a little bit more than that even. That's mostly school-size yellowfin, bluefin, and now a few Dorado, a little more starting to show up, so that's good news. And most of the daytime bite has been fly line and sardines. You need a hot bait, 25-pound fluorocarbon, number two hook, and a little bit of patience, but a lot of that daytime fish is fly line fish. And then the big fish zone, it's been very productive. The nighttime is the right time there, and it's mostly bigger jigs and heavy tackle if you don't want to get destroyed, because there's been some really, really big ones. I think the 300-pounder that Dwayne caught here a while back was up in that zone, but plenty of 200-pounders. And it stretches kind of from southwest of the west end of Catalina out toward the 499 and then toward Ben Weston, kind of like that sector there, although there's stuff scattered all up and down the back of Catalina. But a little choppy out there right now, so you kind of got to buckle up and just go for it. But it's been darn good fishing. And then on another subject, not recently mentioned, but very near and dear to my heart from a previous lifetime especially, but I saw a picture on the Internet. One of my friends put up a really cool picture of some sleepers, marlin sleepers, a whole bunch of them. There are like eight of them laying there together. I'm thinking, God, that marlin fishing is so much fun.
Yeah, Dean, what are you doing to everybody? I saw the same thing, man. I wanted to make a cast on that, too.
Oh, my God. As soon as I saw that, you know, I mean, I spent 30 years chasing those things vigorously and was fortunate enough to be somewhat successful at it. I've got four first fish of the year flags from when we really put a lot of time and effort. And a lot of that time, we're starting right now, mid-July, starting to look for them. Now, I have not heard a single marlin report this year, which is a little surprising. Usually we've been hearing it for a couple of weeks before somebody catches one. But, that little bit of Dorado showing up, yellowfin showing up, you know, water straightening out, bait everywhere. I got to imagine that marlin scenario is going to get fired up here pretty quick. So, you know, I got to tell you guys, there's just a huge amount going on, and it's definitely time to go fishing.
Well said, buddy.
Couldn't agree more, man. Yeah, I know. Mark, always love your report. And, man, just having all that stuff in our waters from the yellowfin, everything you're mentioning, and how do we get the best bait tanks in the world, Mark?
Oh, well, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff that is going out the door here in the last week, man. We've been making some nice ones for sure. Anyway, We're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger by the big Chevron station. I won't even tell you the price. It's ridiculous now.
Right?
it's just crazy what that guy's doing. But phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. The website is PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, God, I wish I could tell you about the wide-open striped bass bite that's happening as we speak.
Really?
Well, some things you just can't mention, I guess.
Right? The guys are not lying, and they're not these little peachy ones. It's the real deal. They're nice
cool.
ones.
Well, yeah. Well, Mark, a great report as always. Appreciate you keeping us abreast of what's going on, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it, guys. We'll see you. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Mark. And you can save $20 if you want to get that great info every week from fishdope.com. Daily updated Danny and the boys. Jeff do such a great job keeping us up to date with what's going on. And if you use the code HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, saves you $20 off of a new membership to fishdope.com. Appreciate it very much. Hey, we're going to switch from there to a place that, Corey, I know you love, and we're going to look forward to talking even more about it. I know you had such a great time, and we're going to be talking with Rosie from Cedro Sport Fishing. Hi, Rosie.
Good morning, Rosie.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Jeff and I are sitting out by our koi pond watching the fish, feeding them, and it's just appropriate that we do a fish report.
That's right. Well, we need a koi report as well as the Cedro Sport Fishing report.
Exactly. So, you know, one thing I love about our island is just the way it sits out there in the water, and that lee of the island is always, you know, so fishable if there's a little bit of wind. And it's not that we're having a lot of wind right now, but I always look at the weather report every day to see what my guys are up for and what they're in for, you know. And this week was, I don't want to say it was slow, but it took a little more time to get limits. I think you experienced that too, Corey, on the yellowtail, that, you know, maybe it took till 11 o'clock to get your limits of yellowtail, and but hey, they still got them. So,
all the way till 11, huh? No, jeez.
But I can tell you this, Rosie.
Wow.
Rosie, if we had our fill of yellows like the first day, like, oh my gosh.
Right.
Like, all we wanted, right, for the trip. So,
right.
Hey, let's go calico fishing day two. All right, let's go calico fishing. First two fish on the boat, 15 and 18-pound yellows.
You know, and isn't that the gig? We tell people all the time, it's like, you know, that's why we tell them to line up. You know, get some better line, some heavier line on there, because you could very easily catch your personal best yellowtail while you're fishing for calicos, you know. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely got to do that.
And
so,
let me tell you, the third day, the guys wanted to go drift halibut. One of the first fish, 35-pound yellowtail.
Oh, come on.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. But you know what? And there's so many other things to catch on that island. We've had a gentleman, Justin was down there this last week. Known Justin for years. I mean, he's fished for years. And would you believe this was his first time, or second time to Zetos, but his first time ever catching a sheephead,
wow.
You know,
oh,
and it's
no
like,
way.
You know, sheephead down at the island. I mean, we catch a lot of sheephead, but you know, you just don't think about that someone's actually first time catching a sheephead. So the sheephead stepped up, the whitefish stepped up, the grouper stepped up, still are getting white sea bass down there. And, you know, the anglers are not wanting for anything else, because it's like everything is still fishy down there and it's still working. So it might take a little longer to get it over the rail, but they're still getting them over the rail.
Rosie,
awesome.
I have to tip my hat to you. You put so much work behind the scenes into what's going on, and I can't believe the trip last week, how smoothly everything went. Like, seriously, meeting at the CVX and a great friendly group and going across the plane and getting to the island, everything was so smooth. And, like, coming back. I mean, I'm like, all right, everybody have their CVX things, you know, card ready, and we're getting ready to go. And everybody looks at me like, Corey, you got it. Oh, yeah, I guess I do, right?
Yeah, I do.
Like, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, every little thing handled.
Every little thing, Rosie. And the crew down there is flat out amazing. We had such a wonderful time. And I want to touch on the fish processing, too. It is beyond, it's fisherman's processing on Cedros Island. Seriously, it's
well, it totally is. Yes, it is. As you know, I used to be an owner of Fisherman's Processing, so you know everything that we used to do at Fisherman's Processing. That table ready, the bags are wiped dry. Everything's labeled per species. We do the exact same thing down there. And, you know, Jeff and I, we are opening fish today that, you know, we will be making ceviche out of. And we don't have to trim anything off because all the red line is off. The skin is off. The gas marks are out. Everything is done well. And to see that our fillet crew down there really take pride in how they cut the fish, it just shows. It just shows. Everyone calls me and says, I'm opening fish still from last year, and it's still perfect.
That's awesome.
And, you know, it's
Rosie, it is literally, the fish is over-trimmed. Like, it is literally, like, what I'm trying to say is what you're bringing home is absolute legit.
It's going on the plate.
It's ready, like, right now. And do watch what you're bringing down and wait. Because the less you bring, the more fish you're going to be bringing back. Like, it is, and the fish bag, bringing your own fish cooler fish bag and having that pack, like, it's, I saw the guys doing it, Rosie, and it was an eye-opener for me.
I feel like I'm getting a disapproving look at you right now for the amount of gear I bring down.
No.
Yeah, well, you know, we have always recommended that if you have a soft-sided cooler bag, to bring it down. Jeff and I invested in one. We invested in a good one. I totally recommend it. There's two that I recommend. But if you take down that soft-sided cooler bag, the guys will load your fish up there. We have some guys, we have a group going down on Monday. They all bring their soft-sided cooler bag because from the CBX, they go right to the San Diego International Airport and they fly to Oregon. So, you know, we know the fish is packed well down there. They're all in the AO coolers and they get up to Oregon literally with no gel packs in there. And they get home, they say, nope, still frozen, still good.
That's great.
Rosie, Cedros Sport Fishing, seriously, look no further. I appreciate everything you do, and appreciate the report, and awesome lodge. Get on it.
Great job, Rosie. If somebody wants to grab a spot and come fishing with you for the remainder of this season or start booking for next year, how do we do it?
Yep. Please give me a call because we do have a few spots open. We have to have spot open on our trip. You come fishing with us. Phone number for me is 619-772-7570. You can email me at rosie@cedrosportfishing.com, but you know what? I'd rather talk to you.
Good call, Rosie. Great job, as always. Thanks for everything you do, keeping us fishing at our favorite island, and we'll talk to you next week.
Right on, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Rosie. All right, let's head on down now to San Diego, over to C4 Sport Fishing, and talk to our buddy Marcos. Marcos, what's going on at C4?
Marcos.
Good morning. How's everyone doing?
Good. Very complete morning of catch reports. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Oh, it sure sounds like it. I mean, so far everything sounded nice, and I'm going to continue that trend here. We've had some very good fishing over this last week here. The half days, lots of calico bass in the mix there, a little bit of bottom fish there with the sand bass, rockfish. Actually, a few days, I've seen a lot of barracuda. Still a lot of short barracuda. But it's still fun fishing, especially on that lighter gear. So definitely a lot of options there on those half days, the morning, afternoon, and twilight. The full days, the San Diego, Sea Watch, a few charters mixed in there, Delgato on the six-pack trips out there, all doing very well on those bluefin, those yellowfin. Sea Watch actually snuck a Dorado into the count yesterday. I'm not sure how that happened, but you know that's a good sign of the way things are going here about kind of what we expect. The overnight, same thing, bluefin, yellowfin. I wish I had more to tell you guys, but it's just good fishing, and there's not really, it's biting. I mean, I can't really give you too much nuance there. Just make sure you have your gear. Make sure to make reservations plenty ahead of time. It's getting to that point in the season where stuff's starting to book up pretty quickly. San Diego, I think, is booked up through the month here and starting to leak into next month. We're putting the Sea Watch online when the San Diego is full, and both of those boats are doing really well there. So lots of options for you guys. Check the website, seaforthlanding.com. That's full schedule up there for those half days, morning, afternoon, and those twilight trips. The full day trips, the 1 days, day and a half, 2 days, there's some longer trips scheduled, and there's some 3 days later in the season. So lots of options for you. You can make those reservations online there. Just call the office, 619-224-3383. More welcome to come down and visit us in person. You know, escape the heat if you're inland there. Come down to the beach. get a burrito next door, get your gear tuned up, and get on the boat and go fishing.
Great call, Marcos. Glad to hear that you're good fishing. Great variety in the counts, and all the trips are biting. Look forward to hearing another great one here next Saturday.
Yeah, you know, it's like I said, I wish I had more for you guys, but at this point you can pretty much, you know, pick a trip at random and you're going to go out there and catch some fish. So hopefully that continues through next week, and we'll keep doing it through the rest of the season, actually, the way things are going here.
Yeah, let's just keep the reports like this all year,
right?
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to record this and I'll send it to you guys next week and just play it.
Yeah, next week all the trips will be biting. The San Diego will still be sold out for a month in advance, and there'll be great fishing. Come down.
And come escape the heat and go out on the boat.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, great call.
Great job, Marcos. Appreciate it as always, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you then, guys.
Thanks, bro.
All right, Rick. And the Catch Report is sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros of Market, you can purchase their famous spices, rubs, their poke kit. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or you can order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to make your reservations by texting them 619-255-3128. When you're making your RP reservations when tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, right.
Or the Supreme or Shogun on Monday. Go right.
That's your next call.
Exactly.
Good call on that. Hey, I had a fun text come through. Phones have been packed up. Texts as well. Good morning, guys. I have a question. My son, who is a student at Cal State University in Monterey Bay, was wondering if you have any types of summertime internships for aspiring marine biologists. Thanks for everything that you do at Hubs. That's from Bill in Mission Viejo.
Thanks. Short answer is yes. Yes, we do. We actually just started some of those this summer. We have some students on board right now. And so we've, in some of the recent grants and contracts that we've got, we have built into those in internships for our hatcheries, in particular working up at the Carlsbad facility. So best way to probably get involved with those is starting to contacting us earlier in the spring, you know, as summer approaches, and look for announcements. But certainly get your name in and let us know that you have somebody that may be interested. And then when opportunities come in, they'll be really more official next summer. Start those internship opportunities. So yeah, I mean, there's not many places, at least for marine aquaculture. I mean, we are the only facility on the west coast of the United States, really, for operations. Yeah, so and to learn from us and see what we're doing and how it's done and help us, because it's obviously the busy time of the year in the summer for us. So yeah, so we do have a couple, I think two, three of those that we're trying
cool.
to grow that part of our organization with regards to having the ability for students, college-age students in particular, to learn about marine aquaculture.
What a fun summertime internship and a great-looking note on your resume as you're going forward for your career. That'd be a really, really fun one.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not many places you're going to be able to get that opportunity.
Yeah.
And you know, I always encourage, you know, when they're looking, people look, you know, and I think these are actually going to be some paid stipends for these inter-volunteer things. So if you can't make it in one of those stipends, then maybe we'll see about, you know, other opportunities to support you with regards to just if you wanted to volunteer. But, yeah, so
cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's
cool.
Awesome. Well, the phones are packed up. Corey, let's jump right back into them.
Do it, Rick. How about Hills? Hills calling from Ventura. I wonder if he knows a little bit about that striped bass. Hills, what's happening up there?
Hey, Hills.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for such a great show. Mike, I dropped my sea bass heads at Eric's Tackle. It's our local shop. Eric's got a freezer right at the front counter, so everybody I know drops their heads off there. And then I got the opportunity to help release two pens of sea bass at the Channel Islands Harbor, and that was super exciting and gratifying, and it's quite a bit of work. And I'd love to be able to help again, you know, that, and I wonder if there's a contact around Ventura Channel Islands area to volunteer, to help. Cause it's a lot of work. You gotta pressure wash the nets and stuff like that, you know, takes a few people.
Yeah, no, definitely takes a few people. And they're still going up there, Channel Islands, and Frank. I'm drawing a blank on Frank for some reason, his last name right now. But Frank is still heading up the operations up there and coordinating that. So if I can get an email or some way to contact you, I don't know if we've got a way to that we can put you in touch with those guys at the Channel Islands grow out site, because obviously they're They're still going strong and heavy. They don't have fish currently right now, but they will be loaded up in the fall. So, yeah, it's a lot of work up there. They have three pens, of which we're using two of those for the grow out. So, yeah, they're able to grow fish more than any most of the other grow out sites.
No kidding.
So,
that's cool.
So, yeah, so they're definitely looking for help and certainly could appreciate help. So I'm not sure the easiest way to get in touch or put you in touch with them, but we can figure that out.
Yeah, Hills, you can just get your number to us, after the show, or you can send us a text through the line. And sounds like Christian's already got it for us.
Cool.
So now, how many? What's the approximate number of fish that are I don't know, raised in one of the pens? You know, when you guys do a release, what's an average number of fish like?
Average number? I mean, it depends on the size of the pens. Like I said, Frank's got one of the ones up in Channel Islands are larger, so we stock them knowing that when the fish get to 8 to 10 inches, what's the density? And there's a certain number of 15 grams per liter. We don't like to exceed that
because
then it gets a little too dense. So we'll stock them. May not look at as many fish in there, but they're going to grow. And
sure.
So on average, the pens are, you know, a couple of thousand fish. I mean, Frank can hold about 15,000 fish
wow.
in each
wow.
one of his pens. Roughly,
amazing.
I think it's about that. I think we stock them with 10,000 fish in each one just to kind of give them some room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so he can do a good number of fish up there. So they definitely have their hands and their work cut out for them because, again, it's a lot of, you know, volunteers needed to go in there and feed those fish on a daily basis, keep things clean and check on the systems, et cetera, and stuff like that. So
how are those released? Does the net just open and they're released, or?
Yeah, so normally his is a net. Most of the other sites are fiberglass, but the net can just be lowered and lowered down and pulled out the other side.
And there they go from that point.
And they go, yeah.
I can remember some of the early years. I mean, it's really evolved. I mean, you've got it down so good, but I can remember some of the 25 years ago or 20 plus years ago. Right there in Mission Bay, you saw the green tube going in the water. Here go these sea bass. There was about 1,000 cormorants and seagulls. It was kind of, at that point, I mean, what I was witnessing was probably a learning curve at that point.
Yeah, I mean, not good. We try to avoid that. And,
yeah.
And so our protocols now have changed, where in part because we've learned from the science that we've done. In particular, the science I'm talking about is acoustic telemetry. So putting transmitters in our fish that we can follow them around after we've let them go. And so
crazy.
We've learned that embayments and fish tend to leave the embayments at night on an outgoing tide. And, you know, I've done this in several different embayments and several different studies, and they've all shown the same.
Followed the same pattern.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Explain
so,
that. So
they can go out during the daytime on a high tide, but they just go out at night incoming tide. So they
swim into the current going out to bay.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah. So
I wouldn't have thought that.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. So it makes sense. Actually, they're going out after the high tide. So when the tide is sort of receding.
Okay.
But so they're going with the current, which is something that's kind of interesting because you're always thinking about swimming. So. What we do now is try to release them sort of near dusk. You know, birds roost at night, so mm-hmm. the predators aren't around, and then hopefully get them to leave the bays, because what we found in the studies is that if the fish don't, most of the fish get out of the bay pretty quick, within a week. If they don't get out of the embayment within a week, then we tend to find them or lose track of the tag. Find them as a result of a predation event. Like I can find the tags on the bottom, meaning
a bird ate it,
and then, for example, or a sea lion ate it and passed it out and then we find just the tag, and sometimes we'll find the tag with around a pile of fish bones or vertebra, you know. So
crazy, so
to be more proactive, we thought these bays, you know, were such, you know, good protective environments for them, but it turns out maybe they're not, and maybe they just like to get offshore.
All
so,
part of the learning process
yeah.
and
so,
research.
Yeah, yeah. So now that to be, you know, we've adapted manage the program, and in particular in the lagoon in Carlsbad, you know, there used to be a power plant there and intake water, and so we don't want them swimming right into the power plant. So, and that was where we studied, did one of the studies. And so, yeah, by doing that, we've now, on all the grow out sites, we've just adopted that plan to kind of release near dusk on a high tide, so that during the low tide receding, that they can hopefully get out. And
amazing information and research.
So rad.
Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. All the texts and calls we're going to be getting into when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Captain Dwayne Diego, four-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it: the fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat. From the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system, my Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Seasoned long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3 and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
The perfect day is my family and I on the boat, out on the waterway. I love it. Nothing but sun, snacks, fishing, and of course, life jackets for everyone. Save the ones you love. Life jackets save lives. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Welcome! All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and having so much fun in studio, having Mike Shane from the SeaWorld Research Institute in here, And you want to join us,
213-432-1090,
or you can text us via the app. We're giving away two tickets to the September 21st 60th anniversary gala happening at SeaWorld. And if you want tickets, you can go to...
go to our website.
60 years of Hub.
HSWRI.org. Yep. And actually, you just ran around me, too, not to go off the gala, but for the CCA event that's coming up here on August 3rd, the Anthony Heiss Award that Bill Shedd is receiving. It's going to be a moving. The event is going to be kind of start at our institute and then work its way into the park. But at the institute, if you guys haven't got tickets yet for the event, you should probably show up, because we're going to have tanks of fish, of white sea bass, of halibut, and the yellowtails part of that event.
On August 3rd. Wow.
That's cool.
How neat is that?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, as Corey mentioned, with the phones being open, we were 100% packed going into the break, but we did have a line drop off. So if you want it, that's yours. 213-432-1090. Rolling back into it, we're going to jump in with a text. Good morning, guys. What a great program you have at Hubs. I'm curious, what is the farthest distance that a tag has ever been recovered from the San Diego hatchery? That's from Darren in Huntington Beach.
Great question.
Yeah, it's a good question. So the farthest we've had them is actually caught off of Monterey. So, I mean, the program is funded here in Southern California. We haven't put a lot of effort in getting fish from Northern California, but we've had a fish released off of Dana Point. I believe it was the released grow-out site that it came from, and was caught off of Monterey. I'm trying to remember how many years it was out there for, but, you know, that was probably a 5 or 7-year-old fish, I recall. But the oldest fish we've gotten back from the program has been 20 years.
Wow.
So we've seen
the
fish come back again, or released here in one of the grow-out sites, and was caught by one of the grow-out volunteers. Kind of, I don't know, maybe he's got a secret to feeding him,
cool,
or whatever. But 20 years later, he caught off a kayak off of Manhattan Beach.
Wow.
And that's the oldest fish we've had out there. And for this program and the way we operate, and for this species of fish, I mean, it's a big pond out there to get these guys, and they roam everywhere. I mean, the genetics kind of indicate that it's one big population out there from kind of down in southern Baja up to, you know, northern California and beyond that. So that means the fact that there's no distinct subpopulations, that this fish moves around a lot. And so, you know, to do a stock enhancement project with a fish that moves around, unlike a salmon that, you know, comes back
right.
from the stream and you just sit there and wait for him to come back, you got to go chasing these guys around. So
20 years. So yeah. Caught in Manhattan. Do you have a weight on that or estimated?
Yeah, I believe that was probably close to 50 pounds.
Wow.
That one was. Yeah. And so, again, we don't know where that fish went. I mean, yeah. These fish crosses an international border, so back and forth to the Mexican Riviera and back a couple of times yeah. and back up here and finally got caught here.
Amazing.
Locally. So, yeah.
And there's a lot of white sea bass being caught at Cedros Sport Fishing right now, at Cedros Island. Some of that is probably attributed yeah. to your work as well.
Well, yeah, right, and that's part of we again do sample fish coming up from Mexico, and that seems to be that area south of Cedros, Punta Abadejos, past Punta Ujina, down below there, Ascension Bay, and those are places where they're bringing commercially caught fish from the local cooperativos up here, and we're scanning and getting those fish as well and looking for tags. But as part of our genetic study, we've never found, well, we, in our sampling, have never detected a tag fish, but our genetics results or preliminary stuff came back, detected a tag fish down in
that region.
In that area.
Wow.
So we know they're moving around and they're down there. So, yeah.
Awesome.
It's the thing that I love so much about that fish is that it's so highly sought after. We've been fishing for it for years. There's guys like Mike and a team of researchers that are just dedicated to it. And they're still so crafty. You know what I mean? They still just escape us and show up in areas we're not. And, you know, even today you couldn't point your finger and say, well, the big, like you said, it's, you know, it's not distinct separate populations, but you know, at no time you could point to a map and say they're going to be here today. You know,
yeah.
they're so crafty, and it's a really, really cool fish.
Yeah, and that was one of the kind of earlier criticisms we heard about the programs. Oh, you're just going to release all these fish and they're going to take a left turn and head south, you know, and go into Mexico. But, you know, we're seeing them, you know, fish are being caught over at Catalina. They're
yeah.
being caught off Ventura, recaptures, and then, you know, fortunately, we don't have a big effort up in Northern California. We do get some fishermen, especially in San Francisco Bay, to turn over their sea bass heads. But, yeah, I mean, they're going all
they go
over
everywhere.
The place, so they're
not, part of the population.
Yeah, so.
And not only being caught, but these fish are being added to and enhancing the spawning population. Like, they're giving to the future. I mean, there's, like, and that's why you're doing the genetic studies, right? I mean, just to see, it might be a second, third generation fish even.
Yeah, well, I mean, we won't be able to tell the second and third generation
okay.
fishes, but we'll certainly know if it was a direct release from the hatchery. Hatchery really is what
you.
We're looking for. So, but again, we know they're out there. They would, you know, certainly they're mature easily by the time they're 5-6 years old out there. And so, you know, it's just, we've seen them spawning captivity, so why aren't, you know, there's no reason to think that they're not spawning out there.
Right.
So,
guaranteed.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
That's always been one of my biggest things when people talk about the criticism of a rate of return on heads. It's like, there is no calculation for the number of sexually mature females that, because of you guys at Hubs, have put out there that are also adding to the population. It's great. It's
yeah.
a great program, and we love
Thank
it for
you.
Sure. Well, Corey, let's jump back into the phones.
Let's do it. How about Robert? Robert Cohn from Canyon Country. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, Robert. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Mike, thank you. Your efforts have put a lot of sea bass in my boat, so thank you for that. I called in last Sunday. We were waiting to called in last Sunday. We were sitting in front of H&M waiting to load on the Legend. Three of my grandsons took me fishing, and I just wanted to give you an update. You guys gave me some good luck. My grandson got a 220-pound bluefin.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome, Robert. Way to go.
Awesome trip,
right?
Three grandsons and the grandfather, and it was rough fishing like bluefin always is, but the last night it just went wide open, and my grandson got a 220. We each got a fish. Wonderful trip. Awesome boat. The Legend was incredible.
Oh. Man, what a great report. That's awesome. Well, keep those calls coming, Robert, and congratulations to you for a successful trip with your grandsons there, and what a lifetime trophy, that 200-pounder. Congrats. That's awesome, and really glad to hear it, man. That's a very special one. Had a great text come through from Steve in Fallbrook. Says, good morning, guys. What a very interesting show this morning. My question is, does the Carlsbad Hatchery have any tours available, and or are there any opportunities at volunteering at that facility?
Yes and yes. So we're always open for tours. I mean, that's part of our sort of our mission and that. And so we have people come through. We schedule them all the time. They're on our calendar. So, I mean, from a couple of people to large groups, 50 or more, it's nice when you have more people that can see that. So if you want to arrange something, you can get a hold of us and go to our website looking for emails or contact me, or we've got a person that coordinates that. So, yes. And then volunteers, yes. We have volunteers working right now at the hatchery. So people coming in and helping, you know, a lot of retirees that want to come in for 4 hours a day and a couple days a week. And, you know, we've got a guy coming in on the weekends that, you know, Saturdays and Sundays in the mornings, that's his thing. And he's been doing it for almost probably a year now, and it's just great.
Oh, cool.
You know, so he's retired, but, you know, he's bored, so they want to come out and help. So he's just down the street. He's been great. So, yes, we do have volunteer opportunities. And again, it's a matter of just getting a hold of us either through the website. There's links at the bottom of our homepage to volunteer opportunities to just kind of submit a form when you're available, what you'd like to do. But, yes, we'll definitely take on volunteers as well.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love it.
And let me just say, having got an opportunity to go, you know, view the Carlsbad Hatchery report, it will blow your mind. If you thought that the scratch of the surface of info on this show was cool, man, getting to see the facility and see how it's done and seeing the big fish in the tanks, and it's an awesome, awesome opportunity. If you can, you know, if the stars align to go take a tour sometime, I highly, highly recommend it. It's really
cool.
Special. Totally.
Right now, when we're doing our production run, you can see, you know, everything from the smaller than a grain of rice to 60-pound sea bass swimming in tanks. So, yeah,
wow, cool.
I could look at that broodstock tanks every day and never get bored. I mean, just seeing those big things just so effortlessly cruising around, man, it's really cool.
When you put in the quote-unquote sea monkeys, like, to feed them, do they go into a feeding, like, little grains of rice, do they go into a feeding frenzy?
Yeah. I mean, you can see them starting to eat and that, but it's not like you don't, they don't boil to serve.
Yeah, right.
Foamer, grains of rice.
But you can see them actively.
You can see them opening their mouths and eat them, which is good. And we do, you know, from especially the small size, earlier ages, we'll do gut checks, so we'll put them under a microscope, look to make sure that they've, you know, what the food count is and that they're eating and everything looks good. So,
just amazing.
Yeah,
super amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah, let's do it, Rick, and talk to Doug. Doug, call from Montebello. Good morning, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Well, I was wondering, do you guys have any hookup with the searcher when they go on their ecology trip?
Well, the searcher ecology trips are they're whale. It's just a different deal. Whale viewing and no fishing allowed. And, like, their permits designate that there's not fishing gear on board
and
the boat.
And so, no collection either.
Yeah, definitely
all.
No collection on that.
Right.
But you guys have done a lot of work with different sport boats over the year, whether it be capturing broodstock or more commonly transferring fish from pens to facility and back and forth. I know a lot of, again, cooperation and friends in the sport fishing fleet. That's what we said in the beginning. I love so much about this program. It's all-encompassing of all of us. Like, you make us as anglers kind of part of the deal, too.
Yeah, and we've had great support in the past from SAC about using the boats and going out and helping to collect our broodstock and other fish, as well as even releasing our fish. Dana Wharf is awesome. We've done a couple releases the last few years. She's donated the boats to take the fish out from the grow-out pen and get them around the corner, just offshore there. She's also a collection site for the sea bass heads. So, yeah, I mean, everything from even the earlier days, going on some of the boats, the Apollo, whatever, going down to the Coronado Island, and collecting halibut broodstock back in the earlier days of the program. We did that. And
Claire Supreme.
Going over, we did a multi-day trip. They kind of normally head out of San Diego Bay and head to the left, but this time they went to the right and went up to the Catalina. We spent a few days out there trying to collect broodstock. It was nice to, it was just a unique opportunity, you know, launching the pongas and going and getting tight to close to shore and doing that. So, Yeah, it's great, but it does take, you know, it does take some coordination. It's just not going out on the boats and fishing, but, you know, you've got to have holding tanks and correct water flow, make sure there's no sharp objects in the tank for these things to bang on the walls in. And then, you know, when we work even with the commercial fishermen to bring fish back from Catalina or transport them to grow out sites, so commercial albacore guys that are used to handling live bait and transporting that, they've got the tanks, they've got the plumbing and the turnover of water, et cetera. So we do a lot of work on the boat, a vessel called the Millie G, which used to be owned by Jack Webster. Now it's owned by Aaron Barney. Aaron's great. So he's worked with us last few years, and he's awesome. And so
former of the Shogun, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's nobody better.
How hardy of a fish is a sea bass? You know, I mean, some fish are so tough and they can handle net and deck and things. And then there's other fish where it seems like, boy, you just look at them the wrong way and they don't do so hot. Like, how hardy of a fish is a sea bass in terms of your handling?
Great question. They don't like to be netted numerous times. You net them numerous times, it removes the slime. So when we handle the fish, we try to always either sluice them, like, you know, for loading fish up into a boat, you know, we try to sluice them over, and then offloading them off the boat, can we sluice them out or somehow try to avoid multiple nettings?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, because they're food fish, we're very limited on what we can do if they get sick to treat them. So we certainly don't want to remove that slime coat. So even when we move big brute stock around or get them off out of the water, we're always using vinyl slings, so stretchers that you maybe know, maybe more familiar with, like tuna bags, you know, transporting tuna around.
And cradles of water along with the fish.
So we get them into our transport trucks, and we try to, you know, again, the same thing, vinyl, you know, especially for the big guys, you know, get them out. So using these vinyl slings, and just even when we handle them in the hatchery, moving them from tank to tank, it's in these vinyl slings because the nets aren't ideal, even though we're using knotless nets and small mesh so they don't split their fins or anything like that. So it's definitely... I wouldn't consider it as hardy as maybe, say, a striper. Stripers, those things are almost bulletproof.
Right.
But we definitely are more conscientious of that and handle them in a manner that is conducive to them being successful and not getting sick.
That's very awesome. Cool information.
Yeah. Hey, great text came through. Not a ton of time left, but I know plenty to sneak this one through. Good morning, Rick and Corey and Mike. Great topic and amazing work from the folks at Hubs. My question is, when we donate our heads, do you want the stones left in the sea bass heads that are donated? If not, is it possible that we get them back? I'm just interested in keeping to adding to my pile, but want to do my part for Hubs. That's from Mike in Oceanside.
Is that the pile that's collecting dust on your dresser? So as I mentioned earlier in the start of this, I mean, they're important to us for research. And years ago, we did an age and growth study, so we needed those otoliths because, as you mentioned earlier, Corey, you can cut those or section them, and you can count rings on them, and that's how we age the fish. So and you count these rings just like on a tree, and that's how you age them. So with our new studies that I mentioned, the federal funding, we're going to need to keep those otoliths to be able to do this, you know, the work that I talked about with stable isotopes and looking at the center of that otolith core, as well as we're going to be aging every fish that we're bringing in. So that's part of this working with a geneticist that we're working with. They want to know the age, and that's typically what you do when you're sort of managing fisheries and you're always catching all these fish, providing this information to the fisheries managers. So they want us to age these fish. So we're going to need to keep those. And so I know in the past I've you know, we've got, after we finished our aging study, we told them, hey, we'd like to see the otoliths, but we'll return them to you. It's going to be more of a challenge for us to do that.
Yeah. So now you're
now. So now we're back to do the science part of that.
Yep.
So,
you just get to know that your donation goes to the science and to the enhancement, and you're going to be offset by hopefully a $25 gift card up to AFCO.
Correct.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to find out who won these two tickets to the gala happening September 21st, the 60th annual. We're going to be right back on the Let's Talk a Kebab, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com.
When you plan your next tuna trip, be sure to select the right boat. And in San Diego, that's the Tomahawk. The Tomahawk is captained and owned by 20-year veteran Dave Ibrahim. Dave is highly skilled and will put you on the fish. The newly refurbished Tomahawk is the perfect platform to target bluefin tuna. Large deck space, oversized galley, comfortable bunk room, tons of bait capacity, and a massive refrigerated fish hold are just some of the reasons why. So next time you plan your fishing adventure, plan to fish the Tomahawk at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. You'll be stoked you did.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We've reached a point where Mike's going to flip the coin.
Yeah, Mike's going to do us the honor. Exactly. We'll find out who's going to the 60th annual gala, and we have a caller winning today.
Who happens to be Matt and La Mesa. Congratulations.
Matt, you're going to love this event, and yeah, so cool. You guys always put on such a great show, any of those galas at Hubs and SeaWorld, and yeah, congratulations. And like we said, tickets available, man. If you weren't the lucky guy like Matt, go buy a ticket. You're going to really enjoy spending a special night with the folks at Hubs.
They bring animals over, and it's kind of a show amongst a celebration.
Yep, they'll probably be bringing some sea lions, everyone's favorite. Yeah, but whatever else, otters. I've seen all kinds of things. Beavers they've had over there. So they, you know, depends on what's the animal.
A cool
Mike,
event.
Can't begin to thank you enough for taking the time to hang out with us, talking so much great information. If somebody wants more information, research, Hubs, donations, volunteers, being a part of everything that you guys do, which is awesome. How do we do it? What's the best way for us to find info, keep in touch with you?
Best way is just go to our website, which is, you know, our initials for our organization. So it's hswri.org, Hubs Fuel Research Institute, hswri.org.
And definitely looking for volunteers, definitely looking for people. Tours are available, donations always accepted. If you're somebody that's wanting to, you know, see this progress, you know, you're always looking for people. You're always looking for people and funding.
Yep, that's the way it works as a nonprofit world, right? So appreciate anybody's support, whether it be labor or money.
Sea bass, so heads, everything. Yeah. And again, if somebody wants to donate a head to you and participate in that APCO, you know, little gift certificate, they include their name and phone number at one of the drop-off, you know, put the head in a Ziploc with your information in there and leave it at one of the approved facilities.
Yeah, so make sure you also look at on our website is a list of the drop-off locations, and you can probably find those at the CCA website and other places as well. But look at there's a bunch to freezes up on the coast from Santa Barbara all the way down to San Diego. Get your head in there, get it labeled, make sure you got your email in there, and we'll get it. Remember, awesome. One per customer on the $25.
Yeah, that's right.
But, awesome information,
yeah.
Mike.
Great job, Mike. This is right, awesome, and enjoyed having you, and we enjoyed having you. What a great show. Lots of great information with Hubs, and, man, we got another really great show coming for you tomorrow. Captain Dave Ibrahim from the Tomahawk and Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing going to be joining Corey and I. We're going to be talking all about that great boat, talking about this amazing bluefin bite going on, all of the great things going on at Fisherman's Landing and Fisherman's Landing Tackle with Doug and Captain Dave. Going to be a lot of show. Big thanks to Adam for keeping us rolling on the app, and a big thanks to Christian for keeping us on the air. We'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning right here on Let's Talk Hookup, 7 to 9 a.m. on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, as well as that Let's Talk Hookup app. We'll see you tomorrow.